Yo, check this out. This is Fresh Get Out the China Man with the 2 Live Crew.
Yo, what's up, y'all? It's me, DMC.
What's up, y'all? This is the boy, Master P.
Yo, check us out. Chuck the Public Enemy.
Yo, what's up? This is DJ Yella from the world's most dangerous group.
What's up? This is DLC.
This is your boy, C-Murder.
This is Jerry Heller, motherfucker.
This is your boy, DJ Paul KOL 365.
Young Dizzy Ball.
Vice One.
Yo, this is DJ Reddy Red.
What up? This is the real Rick Ross. You listen to me on the Murder Master Music Show.
This is a show that shows no limits, broadcast nothing but the real. Interviews with legendary artists, still got love for the underground feel. Rappers with records, revealing and teaching the rappers are coming, looking to put on. We need the platform to fight the mainstream. The show that you need to be on. Hit up UGS for life on the screen and follow with wizard.com. For all of your needs, production and mixing and mastering, grab your channel and call. Check out the archives and hundreds of shows. Plenty of content to view it is. Do everything free to download the stream. Oh yeah, we deserve the real.
We got
trouble
with
these,
we brought our beats, we represent. All them killers on the mic and we should love to all you fans. Baby, keep the focus, bringing nothing but the rhythm. Come and tune into the dopest.
I'm a madman, going crazy, knocking all you rappers off. It's underground society, it's serious. The lights off, hip hop ain't dead. Represent for them legends, rapping mumble rappers. So we ain't sitting on the hips. Two pocket beats, dreaming, thank you for the bliss. It's a murder master music show. Free the homie gangs, bro. I see these rappers on these streets. I got my chopper about to blow. Stay up on that raw shit, uncut street shit.
But our next guest, you know what I'm saying, he's definitely been a huge supporter of what we've done. I remember when we first started this show, we was on a mission, wasn't we, Mac? We was like, man, we got to get Gangster Pat on this motherfucker some way, somehow. And I put out the call for him, man, and we found him, you know what I'm saying, and shit, man, he's been on ever since, you know, super talented guy, not just a rapper, not just a producer, but he's a fucking musician, man, that's the main thing people gotta understand about Pat. He is a musician, and he comes from a bloodline of musicians, so just like cocaine, just like Cole 187, both of their parents, you know, was legendary artists, you know what I'm saying, Hutz and stuff. So, you know, these guys had it in their blood, man. But without further ado, let's see if Pat's on the line, man. Let's see if this is Gangsta Pat right here. Is you, Pat?
Yeah. What up, Prez?
Hey, what's up, brother? How
OG
you been, man?
OG Gangsta Pat.
What's going
man,
on?
What up,
what's going
Pat?
On, man? Not much, man. Just been hanging in there, taking it one day at a time, you know.
You know, the Hillcrest Vikings, that's how they do it, you know.
Yeah, don't play. Yes, sir.
Huge honor to have you back on the show, man. And, you know, since the last time we had you on, we got a whole bunch of new listeners and stuff, people that might not have heard your story before. But, you know what I'm saying, let's take them back, Pat, because you really, your roots, you know what I'm saying, go back to the beginning of the Memphis rap scene, man. Take us back to those early days when you was just starting out, man, and what it was like, you know what I'm saying, in Memphis at that time, brother.
Yeah, Memphis, man, it was pretty hard to really get on in rap because Stax Records was such a big deal here. You know, Memphis is a blues town, so there wasn't really many avenues for hip-hop, you know, so... I mean, as a young guy, I grew up around the business. My father used to have me in the studio with him all the time. So it's like everybody at Stax was my family, you know. So I kind of understood that in order to do music, you had to have an investor. So that's one thing that kind of put me out front is I knew how the structure was. So where a lot of guys was just trying to in the talent shows and stuff like that, I was calling studios. I was hounding people trying to get invested and stuff like that. And one day, a friend of mine hooked me up with this guy who was looking to put some money into the music business. And so that's how I got my shot. It's like he already had some guys that was in there with him. He had DJ Slice, Rod, a couple of more other people. But my determination and my work ethic is kind of propelled me past all of them because I was a newcomer, but I ended up coming out first. You know, because it's like when they used to leave the studio, I would just say, man, just lock me in here, man. I don't even want to go home. and I spend a night in there, and they get back in the morning. I got 3 songs written, about 5 beats done. It's like the work that was crazy back then, but that's how I ended up getting them to invest in me first. Yeah, go ahead.
You were just a kid.
Yeah. I was 15, 16 years old. I was wasn't doing too well in school, so I used to leave school and go sit outside on the steps of the studio and just wait for somebody to show up, you know what I'm saying? And I finally got in, man. And when I got in, I outworked everybody. And that's how my record ended up coming out first. And after that, Atlantic picked it up. So, boom, you know, that's how we got that. That number one suspect.
Atlantic.
That's how I got that major deal. I cut half of the record with a guy named Fat Tony. That was the first investor. He got murdered before we could finish the album. I actually was
now
in the car with him.
When he got murdered with you. You were in the car with him when he got murdered, right?
Yeah, I was in the car. I was driving, and they shot through my window. But he ended up catching the worst of that, you know. Because after that first bullet hit, I ducked because I felt glass shot in my face. So I got down. And after that, they just sprayed it up. And when I looked up, man, he had checked out. He was gone, bro. So that was the first
man.
CEO. Yeah.
And
then Red the Boy came along.
Too?
Say that again.
Didn't you get shot too, Pat, when Tony got killed?
Yeah. I had a head wound, but it wasn't real severe because it's like some slowed them down. I guess it was the little paneling, like, you know, right behind the window, that little part right there with a door and all that little, you know, it was a 1991 Mercedes Benz, so you know those cars are kind of airtight, so it had a lot around the stripping of the window and stuff like that. And by the grace of God, something slowed them bullets down. The one that hit me was slowed down. It didn't like crack my skull or nothing like that. But the paramedics, they was like, man, you must have had an angel in your pocket. They was like, we've never seen nobody with an injury like this. And the type of weapon that they were shooting, you know. Because they was like, man, your buddy, he caught the worst of it. So it was just
rest in peace to him. He was your investor or the CEO or whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He was putting all the money behind you. What happened after that? Did your career kind of come to a halt after that?
Yeah, after he got killed, his folks came and snatched everything out of the studio. So the building was owned by somebody else. So he was leasing the building. So the stuff, all the work he put in as far as soundproofing the place, that remained in the building. They took all the equipment, and then there was this guy named Reginald Boylan that we knew. He came in and picked up, you know what I'm saying, the slack, and bought all new equipment, put it back in the studio, and we kept working. And then he even took us to another studio, a more established studio called Cotton Row, where this guy named Nico Lyris was engineering, and that's where we did the second half of the album. You know what I'm saying? But, like, the first half of the masters was paid for. You know what I'm saying? I was so young at the time, I handed the masters over to Atlantic, but I didn't know I was supposed to get compensated for those. But my CEO, he didn't. That's how much we didn't know about the business. You know, I knew a lot far as studio work from being around Pops, but when it came down to the actual business, there was so much we didn't know. And we actually handed them over to masters, and we didn't get nowhere near what we should have got. But we was going through this independent called Joy Boy Records, and they got cut a $75,000 check, and we got crumbs. I think they sent us maybe like $10,000-$15,000. We bust that up. So right off the bat, we was getting screwed. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
just lack of knowledge.
Man, you guys doing all the work.
We put all the work.
All the money.
Yeah.
Now, Joy Boy, for those that ain't listening, Joy Boy is the same label that put out people like the Dogs and a lot of the Bass Patrol records, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Disco Rick and the
Disco
Dogs
Rick,
and all them artists. The Funky Y2C, I forgot the name of that little kid group that they had too. Yeah, they had a few hit artists though, man. They did pretty good on their run, you know.
Oh yeah, definitely. At what point did you go to Atlantic? Was that after Joy Boy or before?
Yeah, well, actually, we got the Atlantic deal through Joy Boy.
Oh, okay.
You know. Yeah, so it was getting the buzz. Tennessee, Florida, you know, the southern region. And Atlantic picked it up. You know, it was one of they, we're going to sign it. We're going to sign a whole wave of people and throw it against the wall and whatever stick. You know, we weren't priority at all at Atlantic. We was just got caught up in that, them signing a lot of artists. And some stick cool, they'll roll with it or whatever. Don't stick, they'll let it go. But we didn't have promotion. Like, they didn't have us, we didn't have a promotional budget. They just threw my stuff out there, and luckily it just caught on because it was street. You know, and
yeah.
Word of mouth sold more records for me than anything because I really never had no real promotion. You know what I'm saying? So that deal didn't last a whole year. You know,
and
after
crazy
that, I hooked up.
Because that record was a hardcore record. Not to cut you off, but that record was such a hardcore record at that time. I mean, it to me, it was just as hard as that Ghetto Boys record, you know what I'm saying? They came out that year, and it could have been just as big, too, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Why were people kind of shying away from it? Was it the subject matter on there, like songs like Shooting on Nunks?
I don't think it was the content of it all. I just think it was the kind of deal we had. I didn't really have real management at the time. I just made a bunch of horrible deals, and when you tied in the horrible deals, people just don't want to invest in that situation. So I think that was just a good album, but it was the situation was wrong. You know what I'm saying? I think if I would have had somebody that knew a little bit more about the industry and making deals than what we knew at the time, we'd have been in a better position. You know, because when doing the negotiation of that contract, it's like, We didn't demand nothing. We didn't ask for nothing. We just pretty much signed the first thing they sent us. You know, like, okay, this Atlanta. Let's go ahead and sign this and get this back. So that's that immaturity, that lack of knowledge. You know, back at that time, it wasn't a lot of hip hop CEOs like Master P and Baby and Easy. And I mean, Easy was around, but we didn't understand what angle he was coming from as far as owning your label at the time. That was a little over our heads. You know. So I was just really a little bit before my time.
Yeah, well, plus you're just a kid, you know what I'm saying? You're learning the ropes, you know what I'm saying? I imagine your main focus was, okay, I'm going to make the music, you know what I'm saying? And these guys are going to handle the business at that time.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? But eventually, okay, the record did what it did. You know what I'm saying? Eventually you ended up on Ichabod Rap Records, you know, MC Breed. You know what I'm saying? Hard Boys. I mean, so some real dope label names. You know what I'm saying? How did you end up over at Ichabod?
Well, I was after that Atlantic situation just folded. I was still doing shows, and we was performing. I think we may have been in Greenwood, Mississippi. If I'm not mistaken. And I met this guy named Leroy McMath, who had MC Breed at the time. Breed had just come out with their record Ain't No Future in Front. It was at his hottest at the time I met him, and he had struck a few deals with a few artists, and he wanted to get me back with Atlantic and work that deal, but you know, once they drop you, they slick blackball you, man. It just wouldn't have been good trying to open them channels back up after they done already dropped you. So he decided, well, I just signed you to Ichabod, you know, and I was like, okay, that's cool. I didn't know who the hell Ichabod was at the time. But he was like, we got MC Breed, and we got the Schoolgirls, and we got a couple of more artists. I'm like, shit, that's cool. I know who MC Breed is. So he had, at that time, he had a video on MTV. You know, he was on tour with a few other artists, a well-known artist. So I'm like, shit, that can't be bad. You know, I'm trying to search for another situation anyway, so. He brought me down to Atlanta, and I jumped on the road with Breed immediately, you know, so I kind of caught the tail end of the Ain't No Future run when he was out promoting that record, and I got to do a lot of shows with him. Breed taught me a lot of stuff, you know. As far as being on the road, he introduced me to a lot of other great artists like Redman and man, just so many people, man. We was meeting some of everybody because, like I said, that record was hot. He had the video on MTV. And,
well, yeah, it caught the attention of Tupac. I mean, I was just listening to Pooh Man, Don't Cost a Dime. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, that dude was working with everybody.
He was.
So that's dope that you got to, you did a lot of shows with him, huh?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. We, man, Bree was such a generous guy, man, and he opened up his house to us. I mean, we practically lived with that guy. You know, when I first got to Atlanta, I didn't have an apartment then, and, man, we all lived at Breed House. Then we went from Breed House to Too Short House. And I eventually got my own spot, but I still was back and forth. So, you know, he was a generous guy, man. He let you come into the house, record, man, didn't charge you nothing. Anybody that came to town that was somebody and they needed somewhere to crash, called Breed, man. He just, his house was like the dog pound, you know what I'm saying?
Never knew who would be there, man.
Oh, man, you go over there, man. Tupac was over there one day. That was before he went out there and ripped Ichiban apart, you know. DOC used to be over there. Met Faison Love, Big Worm from Friday over there, man. So many people. So many people, man. That's when I first heard of who. Yeah. I didn't even know who Warren G was. I first heard about Warren G from being around Breed. That's when they was doing the New Breed album. Warren G did a lot of production on that album, but we didn't know Dr. Dre had a brother, you know. And then, yeah, you know, boom, he blow up. So, I mean, Breed was a big inspiration as far as me being in the game, man. He taught me a lot. He showed me a lot, you know. So I give him that credit.
Yeah,
rest in peace, Breed.
And you did projects or you did stuff with the DSP, didn't you?
Yeah. We worked on a lot of stuff. A few songs that we did never got released, you know. DFC, man, them guys were cool as a fan. I don't think they had the best deal set up, but they put out some good records, and we did a little project together. And, man, them brothers, them Michigan cats, man, they solid, you know what I'm saying? Flint boys, they solid, man. Yeah.
That's dope you was able to make them connections, you know what I'm saying, from Memphis to Flint like that. You know, did you have a good relationship with Breed later on in his life before he had passed?
Yeah. Breed, he got into some trouble and, some issues going. He did a little prison time. I spoke with him as soon as he got out, and that's the last time I talked to him. Because, man, you know, things were moving so fast and crazy back then. And then I got the news that he had passed away. I was sad about it, man, because he was like a big brother. Man, I learned a lot in this game from Breed.
Yeah.
And, you see how he was there for so many people, man, but when he needed help, man, seemed like there nobody hardly reach out. You know what I'm saying? It was always sad to see that.
You know, a lot of people forget those along the way. You know what I'm saying? You know, that's always bullshit. You know, I've seen that with a lot of artists, man. I see a lot of artists do things to people, and then in their time of need, they're forgotten. You know what I'm saying? And like yourself, you know what I'm saying? Like everybody now knows, you know what I'm saying? You know, you're the pioneer of Memphis. You know what I'm saying? You put the city on the map. But for a while, you know what I'm saying, Cats wasn't really acknowledging what you did for the city. You know what I'm saying? All the work you put in, all the people you mentored, you know what I'm saying? How did that make you feel when you kind of wasn't getting your props?
I mean, it's discouraging when you think about it sometimes. But, you know, but that's Memphis for you, though. Everybody want to take the credit, but don't nobody want to put the work in. And those that put the work in, I always get the credit stolen from them, you know, but that's just how it is sometimes. But I'm just thankful that, you know what I'm saying, guys like you know the truth, you know what I'm saying, guys with a platform that can, you know, just even us talking about it now, somebody that may have not known, now they know. So, you know, as long as the real one know, that's really what matters, man.
Oh yeah, definitely. Before you came on, we was talking too. We was talking about, I forget what show it was, but Paul, DJ Paul, recently he mentioned you in an interview, and he was giving you props. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You and Paul had beef. You know what I'm saying? How does that make you feel now, seen him finally be, acknowledge you. You know what I'm saying? When for so many years he really wouldn't really even acknowledge you.
I mean, it's always anything that's moving forward in a positive manner is always good, man. It feels good to hear that, you know. Because at once upon a time, that was my little homie, man. And, you know, it's like we were so young back then. And when you see somebody, you know, to him, he was looking at me like I was already on, like I had already made it. You know, you were the major label, man. You got an album out. You got a video out. He was so young. In his eyes, I could just pull him right in. But it wasn't like that. He didn't, I mean, you know, at the time, he didn't really know all the stuff I was going through. So sometimes when people don't know the situation, they think you just want the spotlight for yourself, and they'll take that as an offense. Like he used to write raps and bring them to me, and I'd be like, it sound hype, Paul, but it need to be better, man. We got to, because I taught him and Lord Infamous how to write 16 bars, you know. So I was just trying to help him get his lyrical skill. He was struggling with it back then, and he used to take that personal. And I'd like, no, don't take it personal, man. It ain't like that. I'm trying to help you get right so I can pull you in. Because at that time, you had to know how to rap. Whack rappers didn't have the platform they got now back then. You couldn't bring no whack rapper, you know what I'm saying, in and just expect people to embrace them like that. And they weren't developed yet. But over time, look how they turned out, though. Had I would have pulled them in, they probably would have took a whole nother route. By me not pulling them in, getting them that tough love, look what they turned into, man. Lord Infamous turned out to be one of the greatest lyrics of all time in my book. And Paul became one of the best CEOs in the South, you know, far as, you know, taking his label and the groups and stuff to the level that he took them to. You know, he's a very good businessman when it comes to running a label and stuff like that. So, I mean, I guess their motivation was to prove me wrong. That may have been what propelled them to the level that they got to.
Yeah, exactly. You know, little things like that could alter everything. You know what I'm saying? And like you said, too, man, he was super fucking young. You were super young. At that point in time, you know what I'm saying, he might not have understood what was really going on. You know what I'm saying? But, yeah, you were there, you know what I'm saying? You helped, like I said, mentor the development with a lot of these guys. You helped them write, you know what I'm saying? What about today, man? Do you think, we just had Paul on. I didn't get a chance to ask him this, but I'm going to ask this to you. Do you think now that all this time has passed, you guys have grown and you've been in the game so long, is there a possibility that you guys could actually collab? Because I think that would be dope as fuck, man.
I would love to see it. I would love to, man. You know, just because I know it's going to be something, it's going to be epic, you know what I'm saying? But I don't know. See, the thing about it is me and him never had that sit down. All our run-ins were, at once upon a time, verbally confrontational, you know what I'm saying? The one time it got serious when we bumped into Juicy J up at Arden Studios, and I had a homie with me, and we was already in a bad mood anyway. We had been in tour with some old people, and we get up there, and the guy comes out and says, hey, man, y'all hold up. We got 3-6 Mafia back here. We looking at each other like, oh, shit, here it go again. But it was just Juicy by itself. So he come out, and, you know, we exchanged words, and, you know, it was crazy at once upon a time, man. But, I mean, that's growth. If we could sit down and chop it up in that way, you know, because people can say, even though you can give a person props in a radio interview, and I'm thankful for that. Yeah. But at the same time, if I don't talk to him, I still don't know where his head is. You know what I'm saying? I tried to reach out several times, man, but, you know, I guess when he read it, we'll have that conversation. I just hope it don't be too late.
You know, it's crazy that you say that, though, Pat. Like when we had Paul on the show once before, y'all had he did the shit with Zerk to lock him in the trunk. He didn't even know you was in the video. You know what I'm saying?
I'm like,
video out, that shit, and the shit was bumping. He didn't even recognize it was you. And, like, the one thing I know is because I was down in Memphis when y'all was doing y'all things. I was living down now, graduating from high school, all that shit, whatever. But one thing about Memphis was, like, all the artists was easy accessible to the guys. I think that's what made us buy y'all shit, too, because we could see y'all riding up the street. We can see you on Bill on the weekend. Motherfucker run into you in the Brookwoods or something. You know what I'm saying? Like, shit, and that's what made that shit cool. And, you know, like you said, it's just a Memphis thing. Niggas get pissed. It's just like with Dolphin and Gotti and them. That's some Memphis shit. Even though they all the way out west with the bullshit, it's still some Memphis shit. Motherfuckers will get at motherfuckers whenever they see each other. But at the same time, motherfuckers will link up the same way, too.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the crazy thing about Memphis, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it is, man. And it's sad. I mean, I don't know anything about what really happened with the Golf and Dottie situation, but it's sad that Dolph got to end up in the hospital with gunshots, man. And it's just music. You know what I'm saying? It's just music. These two dudes ain't even never had a fist fight with each other. It's music, man.
They hoods, as far as they generation, ain't never really beef with niggas. The same motherfucker that go to the jamborees and all that old shit together. You know what I'm saying? And now once y'all get on a national platform, it really ain't a good look for the town, because the young kids love these dudes. They love Gotti and they love Dolph them. You know what I'm saying? It's the same way like we love you and Paul them. So like when y'all was going through y'all shit, we love the music the same way when Fly split off from Paul them. Like Paul and them used to be mad because we all in the same area, but we bumping Triple Bitch Mafia, but that shit was bumping when it came out. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, shit, nigga, you can't get mad at us. You turned us on to the nigga, and now you mad because we bumping his shit because he ain't with you. Like, shit, we going to bump Gangsta Black. We going to bump Skinny Pimp them. Like, we love they shit, too. You know what I'm saying? Like, Memphis represent for Memphis, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I do know that shit.
Sure. For sure. And that's one thing I had to realize myself, too, man, because, like, sometimes the fans don't really know what be going on behind the scenes unless we decide to make it public. Mm-hmm. So you can't really fault the fans. Like, I know when the song that Paul and them had, When I Say We Cares, You Say B, I know for a fact that song was about me and Player Fly. So when I'm in the club and that song come on and everybody chanting along with it, psychologically, I'm feeling like, damn, they talking about me. You know what I'm saying? They might be looking at me like, you know, anything could pop off. But in reality, they really don't, because a lot of people, they had an idea it was a diss song, but he didn't really say no name. So unless you knew us personally, you kind of had to try to figure out who they was talking about. But when you know when you know somebody talking about you, you never know how the people around you thinking. Because when I was in beef with them, it seemed like we were beefing with the whole city down there because they was hot at the time.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They was the hottest at the time in the city. So whoever the hottest gone, they got the most people behind them. So, you know, people used to ride past my house at 3 o'clock in the morning, bump a Triple C loud, you know, disrespected. Until I come outside on the porch and find that Tech Nine and the Earl, blah, blah, blah. And they about to rip the transmission out there, motherfucker, trying to get away.
You heard me.
You know what I'm saying?
And motherfuckers so not even knowing it. A lot of times, motherfuckers might not even know that you feeling that type of way. They just bumping the song. Like you say, fans don't know that shit. Like when you had your diss song to them, we knew exactly who you were talking about because you brung it to them like that. So motherfuckers used to say, man, you a motherfucking hater. You listen, I thought you said you fuck with 3-6 Mafia, but you over here bumping this gangster fan. I say, I fuck with all these motherfuckers because I done physically seen y'all, physically touched y'all, physically got CDs from y'all. We done been at the same spots. Everybody went to the Ebony and Lace and all that old shit back in the day.
Yeah,
if you want no motherfucking G, you want no. And in Black Haven, everybody knew everybody, man. You know what I'm saying? So it was like, man, I fuck with all of them. The music is just the music. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So you can't tell me I don't fuck with 3-6 because I bump Fly. Fly shit bumping too. We all from the same city.
That's real. So, but some fans,
especially when I moved out of town, because I want to show everybody this shit. Like, I want to feel like I'm the first motherfucking St. Louis that knew about y'all. I feel like that, you know what I'm saying? Even though I'm probably not, you know what I'm saying? But I still feel like, because I was representing that shit before we got popular and trendy and shit.
Yeah, I feel you. But, some fans put themselves in the middle of that beef, man. You know, if they ride with 3-6 heavy enough and they see you somewhere, they liable to try to disrespect you, man, over something they don't even have nothing to do with. So these can be dangerous, not just from the artists, but from their fans, too. Because some people take every word you say on the record to the heart, man.
Yeah, I never even really looked at it like that.
Yeah,
so you could be, like, in Nashville somewhere, and somebody see you and be like, oh, that's that weak ass motherfucker gangster Pat, man. He don't fuck. We hypnotize Camp out, and then they just start talking some shit or something. And you be the guy in a real situation over a motherfucker that don't even know why y'all really going through what y'all going through.
Exactly. And that's how it be. You know, and it, like I said, man, some people put themselves in the middle of stuff they don't even know nothing about. So that's why I said beef can be dangerous, man. I wish it would just stay on the records. I hate it had to get into the streets, because I mean it's like, you know, I'm sure Dolph got a family to take care of, people depending on him and stuff like that. This man almost lost his life, man, over some music. It ain't that serious, man. You know, it just ain't that serious. It ain't never been to me. Like me and 3 6, we could have. They knew where I was. I knew where they was. If we wanted to get down like that, they could have came and shot on me. I could have went and shot on them. You know what I'm saying? But it ain't that. I ain't never thought of it like I just want to kill these. Now, if we have word, we get into a fight. That's one thing. But to actually just want to go and murder them cats behind it, that never crossed my mind, man. It wasn't ever that serious to me. You know, I ain't worried about no fighting or whatever, because that's what niggas do. We grew up in that culture. But far taking somebody's life over it, nah. It ain't never been that serious to me, man.
You know, yeah, you're right, man. You're right, man. Well, speaking of taking a life and being deadly, man, we're going to give them deadly verses. We're going to come back. We're going to take a few callers and chop it up with you some more, Pat. Hell of an interview as always, brother. We're going to go right back in this interview right after this track.
Deadly ass verses, we dropping this shit like bombs. These niggas be talking that shit and they want to run up, but they know they can't keep us. Deadly ass verses, we dropping this shit for you hoes. The villain is now in the back.
Make up that nigga show how you gonna flow.
The villain is chilling, I'm feeling, I'm feeling you niggas who part in the back of your life, and I'm leaving you dead on the job. I felt I had no way shooting and killing them niggas for nothing. See, I don't know how in the fuck I got in it, I really don't know. Started up under me shooting, but I know that I finished it, so I pop my clip and my Glock, and I swear to everyone I saw fall. Busting up out of the club through the window with my bloody Glock, it in my scroll. Checking up prisoners, leaving up witnesses, nigga is biting this fucking song. I'm putting my bloody Glock in his mouth, and he's wrapping his lips around my gun. Shooting and moving and grooving, I'm flowing, I'm letting you know, and I'm ruthless, I'm flowing.
They can't.
Why don't I run up and try to come get some?
Deadly ass verses, we drop
nobody fix it. They move on my blast and I'm kicking their ass and I'm taking their shit, but they catch on your murder case. Niggas, they know they can't fuck with the gangster. If they do, I kill them and leave them for dead at worst, cause I'm on top with my Glock and don't stop. I just pop and wreck shop and I drop me a deadly verse.
Man, you can't fuck with that shit. I'm telling you,
I still bump. I'm about to say, I still bump that motherfucker all the time.
Man, I appreciate it.
And the villain, you know what I'm saying? You and the villain, the way you guys mesh together so perfectly on that album, I always want to ask you this question. Why in the hell didn't y'all do a fucking entire project together? Because that would have been just as dope as fuck.
You know, I hate to even speak on it, but I got to be 100, man. It's like, you know, I took the villain to Atlanta with me and, you know, put him in the studio and helped him develop and everything. And he flipped out on me, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He flipped out on me, man. He got the big head on me. He flipped out. Flipped out. And after that, we just couldn't do no more work together because, you know, I guess sometimes when you bring a newcomer in and they ain't really worked hard for nothing, it just been handed it to them. Sometimes they can, you know, that can go to their head. Sometimes they can mistake in that for, oh, man, I must be that good. It just came like that. Well, you know, let me move up to another level. And
I never even knew that, man. I never, because
yeah,
I was just, like, man, this song was so good. I always wondered, man, why didn't they do anything else? But that makes sense, man. Sometimes that happens, too. You know what I'm saying? You
right,
guys might
yeah.
have a perfect chemistry musically, but you might not be able to get along outside of that. So,
I know we had a good chemistry.
Did you hear from him at all?
I holler at him every now and then because, you know, some of his family members and some of my family members real close. So I see him every now and then, maybe on the holidays or something. And, you know, we speak. It's mutual respect, but, you know. Musically, we just and it's sad because he was such a talented dude. I think he would have came out with a solo album, man. He would have definitely been one of the best solo albums out of Memphis, period. If he'd have let
right.
me produce it, because I mean I kind of
like
help him develop.
You know what's crazy about that song too is that's one of those songs that if a motherfucker could spit that whole song and if they was a rapper and was trying to tongue twist, then we knew. That was like one of the test songs that get your shit right. You know what I'm saying? Like you were saying earlier, like you couldn't be no whack rapper back in the day. You had to have, you know, and back then it was all about style and shit, like who biting who style, who jocking who. But your style basically came from who you was influenced by. So you can get cats that wasn't from Memphis that sound like they was from Memphis because they was influenced. And that was one of them songs. Like Twista got a couple of them too. Like if you could spit this, you should be able to spit your shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because y'all set the bar at a certain level. Same way with Lord Infamous. Like, Koopsa did a couple of them like that, too. Like, and I give other cats probably MC Max Scam, man. They did the same thing. Like, but if they could nail y'all songs, then it made a motherfucker that was writing their shit feel confident in spitting their shit sometimes. And that's unlooked at in hip-hop nowadays, too.
Oh yeah, because it ain't about the lyrics no more, and you know, companies, you know how it is. If you take time and write your stuff, man, and you're proud of what you write, you're gonna want to get compensated for that. But see, a lot of these cats, they know they're just scribbling and scrabbling, man. As long as the beat sound good, and they can put a Rolls Royce behind them, and a couple of chicks on the side, and some chains on, they can sell that. They don't have to deal with this highly sophisticated lyricist who's gonna want to get paid for his work. We can get these cats a little bit of money and let them throw it around, put the mumble rap out, play it enough times and make people like it. You know?
Yeah. Repetitive bullshit. Repetitive brainwashing.
Yeah.
We got a couple of calls
it's
around
shit.
That.
Yeah,
First one is the only
really,
Fred Stein out of Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Fred,
you right,
know?
It is.
Yeah, I'm here.
What up?
Yeah.
Gangsta Pat, what's up, man? First,
not much. What's happening, man?
I want to say salute to him,
man.
Yes, sir. I want to salute you, man. You know what I mean? Coming from Brooklyn, you know, like, I listen to a lot of music, man. That's just me. I'm versatile with it. So I just want to say salute, man. You do what you keep doing what you do like that. One of the songs, you know, like, I really got into that I felt really was G's Ain't Supposed to Cry, man. Like, I went through a lot in my, you know what I mean, when I was young, bro. So that song right there kind of stuck with me, man, on a lot of my days when I was going through what I was going through. So I just want to say respect to you, fam, for real.
Wow, man, I appreciate it, man. And thanks for giving that record a chance, man. You know, thanks for listening. You know what I'm saying? Thanks for acknowledging the music, man. I appreciate all of that, man. You know, to know my music reach somebody way in Brooklyn, man, it's definitely amazing. It's a good feeling, man. I appreciate it, brother, for sure.
Absolute.
Hell yeah, man. Thanks a lot, Fred. You know what I'm saying? All Fred's right. A very gifted FT himself, man. He's down with the UGS movement, man, and doing a lot of stuff over here, man. Appreciate you calling in, brother. We got the homie Marcel, the Underground Savior, man. I know you're a Gangster Pat fan. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing all right. What up, Gangster
Pat? What up, homie?
That ain't nothing, man. I've been seeing reports about being in relationships and stuff. Like, I feel you, man. Like, I kind of relate to what you be saying and stuff about that.
I try to touch on a few subjects because, you know, we as guys, we don't get, man, don't nobody want to hear our damn problems. You know, sometimes we go through stuff, yeah, issue, we don't have nobody to talk to, man. So if I could throw something out there that, you know, guys can relate to, man, who knows? I may say something bad if I'm beating their girlfriend up tonight, man.
You heard me?
Oh, yeah, Mike.
Know. You never know.
I think. Say 3 years ago, I went to jail over a girl.
Yeah.
Well, and that's why y'all ain't seen me for them 54 days and stuff. So I'm like, I ain't doing that.
Wow.
But also
I'd be trying to prevent brothers from going through that, man.
Yeah. But that Deadly Versus, one of my classmates had played me that song, I think 2004. I didn't know who was rapping until I found out it was you, and I didn't know who the villain was till I did my research too. Like, man, these boys be bumping and stuff. Man, I didn't know. he flipped on you. That's why y'all ain't made another album. But y'all had another song too called "Pimpin' Ain't Dead" too.
Yeah, that was out the Sex, Money, Murder album.
Oh yeah, that was bumping too, but. Them the only two songs you did with him, right?
Yeah, pretty much. He sung a few hooks. He sung a couple of hooks on another record. We did a song called "Let It Flow" together too. That was on "Sex, Money, and Murder." And I did the "Soccer Continue" with him. We did about four or five records together.
Yeah, him and Psycho was kind of sounding similar back in the day.
Yeah, they had that high-pitched tone, pretty much.
Yeah.
And a
couldn't tell.
Yeah,
that
my boy Cosmo like that and shit, too.
Yeah, I always like cats with that tone. I guess listening to 187 rap from Bud the Law, it was one of my favorite high-tone rappers. So I guess I like rappers with a different tone, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Never miss
blend
the
it
beat,
better.
Man, the way he gets that shit off. Hell yeah, that G-Funk.
Yeah, because I always wanted to get on tracks with people where we don't sound like, you know, their voice different from mine. Like, I like being on records where you don't have no problem with identifying who you're listening to.
Ooh, Pat, now while you're saying that, like your old dude got a historical music background, and then Big Hutch, he the same way. Like, you ever thought about doing some music with Big Hutch? We need to put that shit in motion, Fred.
Man, if I could get in touch with Big Hutch, man.
I'm trying to get you in touch with him. I'm trying to make that shit happen.
Because
people don't even talk about your production skills. See, people don't know that. They know you as a rapper a lot of times, but they don't know. I done seen videos of you straight playing the bass. Like, why this motherfucker ain't just start a band?
I've thought about it. I think I never really like tried to push my production skills out there because I was trying to be known as a rapper. Honestly, I grew up playing instruments and stuff, but another reason why I produced a lot of that stuff was I didn't have the money to pay nobody. You know what I'm saying? So
right,
I wasn't
right.
looking at it as I'm doing all this myself. I was looking at it as, man, we're going to do whatever we take to get this project done.
right.
And get it out there. So I didn't really speak too much about the instrumentation and stuff like that. But, yeah, that's something I do every
right.
day regardless whether I'm in the
right.
game
I
or not.
I seen you slapping that motherfucker.
Yeah, yeah, I mess around with it, man, because Pop's always left instruments around. So I had enough time to just pick them up and play with them. And as I got old, I started buying my own guitars and stuff. And it's just something I love to do. It's a passion.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Definitely. We got a shout out to Marcel. You know what I'm saying? Thanks for calling in. We got
right. Salute, Marcel.
Yeah, appreciate it, brother.
I see somebody from Indianapolis too. Hold the line, Indy. Here's Sin from France, man. What's up, Sin?
Yeah, what's up, Scott? What's up, Mike J? What's up, Gangsta Pat?
What's going on,
man? What's going on,
yeah, it's cool. Can you tell us about your album, First Suspect, and especially the track, As a Gangster? You got a delivery special on this one, and also about the track, Legion of Doom.
Yeah. Wow, you went way back, man. That's the first stuff we jumped out there with.
I'm about to say, Sin and Encyclopedia. He gonna take you back. He gonna make you work.
Yeah, that's way back.
He told DJ Paul about a song. Paul didn't even remember he did.
Yeah, I'm the Gangster, man. That was a song. We had a dance called the Gangster Walk at the time, and they always do the Gangster Walk. They was doing it to Sir Mix-a-Lot and a couple of other records, DOC. So I figured, man, hey, it's a Memphis dance. We need a Memphis song. So I'm the Gangster was kind of made to fit that dance, and it gave people something to say while they was doing the dance, because everybody felt like they was a gangster while they was doing it. So hey, I'm the Gangster.
Right.
Yeah, so that's where that record came
from.
Shout
out to SMK, too, with the Gangster Walk, man. That shit's still a classic,
man.
Too. Y'all made that shit, man. You know what I'm saying?
Well, since you brought SMK up, look, SMK was the one that made all these Memphis artists get their bottom end right on their songs, man. He the one brought that bass, man. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
He's the first cat to introduce us to
that. Right, and I met all y'all around the same goddamn time. I met him in the Brookwood, too. First I ever met you was in the motherfucking Brookwood.
Yeah,
we was skipping school. We was going to Hillcrest then. You wasn't there, but we was still at that motherfucker.
Yeah.
Like, shit, get a bag from the motherfucking pepper tree, and then we finna head over here. Walking through the tunnels
right
behind
there.
The community center. You hear me? We walking through the motherfucking the sewer tunnels.
Yeah.
On
yeah. Hey, you going way back, cuz.
Yeah, man.
You had
from
to be
shit,
there to know
man.
All that, brother. You had to be there.
Yeah.
Man. Yeah,
all
Legion of Doom
and smoking fat ass blunts.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, but to go back to the Legion of Doom record too, you know, we at the time, you know, Posse songs was real popular. I think NWA made that real popular. So Legion of Doom was our Posse song, you know, with me and MC Rod. Who else we had on Legion of Doom? I think we had Psycho on there too. Yeah, it was just a Posse song. Just all the MCs that was in the house at the time jumped on a record.
And Psycho was one of the first also producers of Memphis, really underrated with Psycho Beats.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. You know what I'm saying? At that time, you almost had to have a Posse song. I mean, if you were talking about Above the Law, they had one, you know what I'm saying? DOC had one.
The grand finale on the DOC.
That was the one.
Yeah,
I think Above the Law was the last song or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Legion of Doom was, man. Yeah. But you took it way back, number one suspect.
That shit made you start reminiscing in your brain and shit, didn't it, Pat?
You start remembering
when you had the curl in your hair and all that shit. You say, man, I got the Hawaiian Silky. Fuck away, Nouveau. I got the Hawaiian Silky.
I remember them days, man.
I remember them days, man.
You with the Ghetto Boys and different artists, you know what I'm saying, Ice Cube and stuff like that, you know what I'm saying? What was it like for you at that age being around them guys?
It was a dream come true. Like my mother used to tell me, like I had all the rappers out the Word Up magazines and stuff. I had them posted up on my wall, and I had drew a picture of myself, like, this is what my album cover going to look like. And I put it on the wall, and she was like, when she came in the scene, and she was like, you're going to end up dreaming yourself up on that wall. And that's exactly what I did. Because I was able to hang my own posters up, and you know, it'd be noticed. But that was a dream, man. It's like, it was like unreal, because it's like, I told myself, man, I'm going to one day I'm gonna be kicking with all the top rappers in the game. I'm going to have my album out, and it just came. I guess the planets lined up, and my dream allowed me to live it, man. It was amazing, you know, to meet. Because at the time, you know, a person like Ice Cube, man, when I met him, he had just left NWA. And when I started, you know, doing shows with him, he had just left NWA. So the beef between them was still cooking. You know, so he was real hot then. I think he had no Vaseline out. It was that Ice Cube. But, man, you know, just to open up shows with him and Too Short and Snoop, and man, it was like a dream, man. You know, for somebody from Memphis, well, we didn't really get the chance to really see rappers like that. Man, it was amazing.
Yeah.
You know?
Hell yeah.
It was a life change.
We got a Indianapolis caller, 317. You on the phone with Gangsta Fat?
Probably Chris
What's up,
Brown, man? Fat nose. Then.
What you saying?
Chris Brown. Sorry, with his big nose ass.
Man, that's such an ugly
my
ass.
My bad,
ass,
my
bro,
nigga.
Man.
You know I'm a fuck
with
you, man. My nigga, man. You know I love
you. A little chicken good for everybody, man.
Yeah, man.
I just had to let Pat know, man. He's been a big influence on me musically, like over years. Even when I was just doing my shit just as a hobby, even when I was rapping in college, man. Like Pat's music has influenced me big, and it's right now to the point, man. When y'all was talking about the production, like them little videos you put on playing the guitar, man, that inspired me
big, man.
To where
that's that shit. That's
for
real. He,
I done went to his page.
Pat don't
want to
take that credit, but he be slapping
good.
That motherfucker up.
I'm gonna go to someone here. I'm gonna pull up the video. I'm gonna be like, hey, I want to learn how to play like that, and that's where it's gonna begin. I don't know shit about the guitar, but I want to know how to play that shit.
Yeah, I appreciate it, brother. Just get you one, man, and sleep with it. And just every chance you get, just work on technique, man, and take it one chord at a time, one note at a time. You can do it.
Hey,
you know
Chris,
what I'm saying?
You ever chop it through any of Pat's music?
Oh, man, I did when I was still doing as a hobby, I was DJ Captain Cool, and I did a Daily Versus. It's on YouTube I think probably about 10 or 11,000 plays, but I did an Origins of Crunk mix, and put Mr. Pat, All They Want to Do Is Smoke Your Weed up on there, and I blended it. I tried to experiment on some I tried to mix like that EDM shit. I tried to slow the EDM shit and mix it with Pat. It came out okay, but I still got to experiment with the style.
Keep
working on that shit. You got it. Because I already knew it was your fat nose ass anyway, but Chris, for real, Chris fuck with Gangsta Pat, for real. I know that for a fact. Like, you got fans out here like that. Like, Chris fuck with your shit. And then on another thing, we were talking about it earlier, like, you be going in on these motherfucking, on these ratchet-ass bitches on the book, and these square-ass dudes, like you said. You might be able to prevent somebody from going through certain things, but one thing I know is you really attack these motherfuckers that put these hoes on the pedestal. Pat be setting them straight.
Because a lot of the
hate
in Memphis come from female. A lot of cats in Memphis hate you over female, man. You know what I'm saying? You could be there hit their baby mama 20 years ago, man. They'll still hate you right now today, man. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah,
I address certain issues, man. And, you know, plus a lot of people out there ain't addressing issues like that. You know, people, You know, like Steve Harvey come out with a book talking about act like a woman but think like a man. That's bullshit. You don't want no woman thinking like
it's
your man
bullshit.
Around you.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, come
that's
on,
that propaganda.
Bro. Don't confuse these folks like that.
Right.
You know, but that's just something to keep the hype going, you know, until I get back to the music, man, because, you know, you can always talk about a good subject and people going to chime in on it. And they're going to comment.
You always been a camp nigga, too, though.
When you get back to the music, man, if you need any dragged and chopped shit, man, just holler, and I got you.
Hey, man, I appreciate it, bro. I need all the help I can get, man. I'm telling you, I've been out the loop so long, man.
EP
you dropped was in 2013. That was the last project you dropped, right?
Yeah. Honestly, I just didn't have the money to push that EP like I wanted to, you know.
Yeah.
So it really didn't get a proper chance to really blossom. I just kind of just stuck it out there, you know, because when people be like, when you coming out with something new, you know, you want to satisfy that. But at
right.
the same time, it ain't like it used to be. We could go a year.
Yeah,
we could
say,
do an album.
Hey, Pat, you got to give us something. You can't keep teasing us. Just slapping the bass, my nigga. You gotta.
I know it,
shit,
man.
We don't give a fuck. If it's one or two songs, motherfucker gonna get that shit, man. And we push them one or two songs. Fuck it. You know what I'm saying? Cause that's all.
That's
all a motherfucker want. Especially, what's important about what we do is a lot of these young cats don't know the music, right? So if I'm at work and I got these 20 something year olds, what they call them millennials or whatever, if they like the music, man, I know it. I don't give a fuck if they say they don't. I see you motherfuckers bobbing your head. I see you trying to gangster walk and shit because you see me doing the shit. You trying to make it like you're making fun of me, but really you're doing it because it feel good to do this shit. It feel good to do certain shit with certain shit. So, but they
that's true.
These kids and the new motherfuckers, they want to learn even if they ain't telling us. So when we show them, every now and then you bust a song out. I love when y'all bust songs out because I be like, I can't wait to run. Did you hear the new Migos? Did you hear the new Yachty? I say, I got something for you. You hear this new Sebo? Did you hear this shit? Or did you hear this new MC8 and Lady of Rage? Did you hear this shit?
Yeah.
They killing you motherfuckers. But they ain't really killing you. We finna show you how to get on that same level.
Yeah.
The kids, they want to learn. They just don't want us to tell it to them. They want to think they found it on their own. So I'll lead them to it. You know what I'm saying? So when you drop a little EP, it might not seem like done to you because you didn't get out of it what you wanted or what you know it could have did, but somebody got something out of that because I put that shit up against any of this shit.
Yeah.
They can bring me the new, like Cardi B, she number one on the Billboard chart right now, Hot 100, Cardi B, okay, it's a rap song or whatever, and I ain't knocking her for whatever she do, but I go get an old Mia X track that's eating that shit alive. Eating it on some rap shit.
Of course.
But you know it's Mia X, and she didn't sell herself like Cardi B selling herself. So, and I ain't knocking Cardi B. So don't call me no fucking hater. I don't give a fuck. I buy the shit that I want to buy. You know what I'm saying? Because they love to call us that too.
I don't mind being called a hater. I don't mind being called a hater.
They call us
called a hater by somebody who doesn't even fucking know what real hatred is. You know what I'm saying? They're just quick to use that term, you know what I'm saying, as a fucking scapegoat because they know we're telling the truth. If I say, man, this mumble rap sucks, and I got 300 other MCs that will destroy your favorite artist, oh, you're just a hater. No, man, I like talent over bullshit, bars over bullshit.
Right,
because
Right, exactly. I'm about to say, because I have people ask me, oh, y'all had Gangsta Pat on, but why y'all ain't had Black Youngster on? Black Youngster already got a platform, man.
Yeah,
this shit is for them. You know what I'm saying? Like,
fucking Vlad or whoever the hell, the Breakfast Club, they got those platforms.
And Vlad should be asking Pat for interviews and shit too. You know what I'm saying? But if they don't, we're not going to wait on them. Like, we're not going to say, oh, Vlad ain't interviewing them, so let's go get them. No, we fuck with y'all because we fuck with the music, man. Especially if y'all still doing it. If y'all still doing it. You know what I'm saying? A lot of our legends ain't here no more. We lost a lot of legends.
That's true.
So the legends that's here, y'all stories need to be heard. Somebody need to hear about how you was on before A-Ball and them. You put them on. People don't know that. Everybody know A-Ball and MJG.
Don't.
They might not never say it. know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They might never be like, oh, Gangsta Pat, man, if it wasn't for him. But they know it, though. Like you said, know it. The people that it really matter to, they know your contribution to the game. And, like, that's why I love to see Al Capone, what he doing right now. Because Al Capone the same way. You know what I'm saying? Like, and you could be right on the same type of thing if that's what you wanted to do. You know what I'm saying? You could be doing the same thing because you mean that much to Memphis, man. And I'm always only because we went to Hillcrest and we Vikings and shit. And you done went up Reigns and you done went up Mill Branch and you done went up motherfucking Winchester. Like, we went to Chisholm Trail. You done went to the Courtyard. All this other shit. We went to the Music Aquarium. Rest in peace to Larry from the Music Aquarium. All that old shit.
Hell yeah.
You know, but
you really
embodied Memphis. Even when you left Memphis and you were still, even in Atlanta, nobody in Atlanta said you was from Atlanta. They was like, all right, he a Memphis nigga.
I didn't go to Atlanta to fit in and try to be like I'm from Atlanta. I went to Atlanta because the record company Itchy Bun, they was in Atlanta.
Exactly.
Little so I could stay on them. But
everybody
that
seen him, oh, that's my Memphis. Yeah, that's my Memphis nigga, man. Them niggas, that's some South Memphis niggas, man. They'll fuck you up, my nigga.
Yeah.
Goddamn
we
right.
We took a lot of Memphis stuff with us, man. That's how Atlanta people knew about Criminal, man, DJ Squeak. A lot of early 3-6 Mafia stuff, because we would take all Memphis stuff up there and pay and just give it away. All them little mixtapes, cassettes and stuff like that. I had cassette doubles in my living room. I was dubbing tapes, man, handing them out. All them Memphis mixes and stuff like that. A lot of people don't realize the reason Atlanta's so familiar with Memphis stuff because a lot of the stuff we took up there back in the day, they had never heard that stuff before.
Right, y'all was like street teams out in that motherfucker.
In Atlanta
We was pushing everybody's stuff. Criminal Mind, everybody, Gangsta Black, whoever had a Memphis
Nasty Nardo, whoever had something out popping. Time it right
man,
now.
We pushed it. We took it to Atlanta, man. Just gave it away. You know, so a lot of people don't even know that. But a lot of people, when I go today and they see me, a lot of folks that I knew from back then, they remember all that shit. You know?
I guarantee you Little John heard that stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, hell
man,
yeah.
I had a meeting.
Little John was a young motherfucker to them.
Yeah, I had a meeting with So-So Def when Little John was A&R over there. They had this dude called Black that they was trying to come out with. He wanted me to write for Black. But I'm like, shit, if I write for Black and then I end up popping, they're going to think, you know what I'm saying, I'm on Black Dig or something. Nah, I got to keep this for me, man. But, you know, Jermaine figured, you know, they already got Black signed and, you know, it's already a situation. So, you know, they was like, we'll get back with you another time. Then, next thing I knew Lil Jon was rapping, you know what I'm saying? So he even, like, I had my song Shake Something in Atlanta. When he came out with his album, he was talking to me about possibly buying the record Shake Something from me at the time. You know what I'm saying? Mm. I'm like, nah, I ain't gonna sell it.
And see, people don't even know that. You know what I'm saying?
They don't
even know that. Yep.
Yeah, I almost sold it to Lil Jon. But, because, you know, Jazzy Faye did a lot of his early production, which is another Memphis producer.
Yeah.
So all that stuff he did, Who You With, Jazzy Faye did a lot of that, man.
You never was fucking with Tony Draper and them when Ballin' was down there. You weren't fucking with Suave at all.
I never met Tony Draper. I just never met him. You know what I'm saying? But I think he did far as getting Ballin' them out there and promoting him. He did an excellent job, man. I wish I could have been on that team.
Tila went down there with them boys too and shit.
I never met him. I wouldn't have put Houston on the front of my album cover though. That I wouldn't have.
No.
I would have kept it middle because they confused a lot of people. A lot of people thought Ballin' was from Houston.
I did. I thought they were from Houston.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of people thought Tila was from Houston, too.
A lot of Memphis rappers, you rarely hear Tila's name in that Memphis bunch, but when they talk about Houston, his name will come up, you know, here and there, but...
Right.
I couldn't abandon the identity of my city, man. I always repped at him no matter what.
We got another one on the line for you, Pat. This one's out of Memphis, man. 901, what's up, 901?
What up, man? This is Memphis Mark, fool.
Memphis Mark.
What
Mark.
Up, boy?
God,
another fat nose ass nigga.
What up, Mary J, my Como looking ass nigga? What's up with y'all?
Hey, them brothers be going in on each other on Facebook.
Yeah. I got to get them. That's my nigga, though, man. What's up, Mark?
Yeah.
Man, Black Haven's going in the house, man. We got three Black Haven motherfuckers in the house right now.
Right.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You got the legend in here, man. The first nigga ever from Memphis in this bitch. What's happening?
Man, you the man, Mark. You already know what it is.
Man, I'm just trying to get like you, man. I'm just trying to set an example. I'm just trying to get like you. Trying to set an example, man.
You did, man. I so appreciate you calling in, bro. For sure. That's love, man. You know we be chopping it up anyway, man.
I know, man. You fam, man. You know what I'm saying? I got to listen in, man. You know, Matt J fam, man. You know, like, the whole, you know, UG Magazine. Hey. It's number love, bro. You know what I'm saying? I got
to show support. Right on, man.
That's love, Mark. I appreciate that, man. It means a lot coming from you, bro. For sure. You're a man of your word, man. I appreciate all the love and support, bro.
Let me ask y'all a question, man.
Go ahead. I just got a quick question,
y'all. What do y'all think about this whole bullshit with this Dolph and Yo Gotti thing, man?
My first initial thought when I heard it, man, I was kind of saddened by it. You know, I was very kind of disturbed by it because, you know, that could have been any two Memphis rappers, man. You know what I'm saying?
There'd
be a lot of beef going down through Memphis. That could have been any two Memphis rappers. And anytime you shoot somebody, I don't care where you shoot them at, man, it's never a good thing. And then people ain't thinking what may come behind it.
That's what I was about to say.
Exactly.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that could lead to more bullshit, man. So it's just unfortunate. It's not a part of rap. It's not what hip-hop is based on. You know, that'd be when you drain the wrong people into the shit, and they ain't got nothing to lose. That was a nothing to lose nigga move. Whoever did that probably didn't have shit to lose.
Right.
You know,
my input on this thing, one thing I gotta say is, like, you know, like, it should have been like how y'all used to do it back in the day. You know what I'm saying? Y'all had a problem with each other, stuff like that, man. Box it out, man. That fight, that shooting shit, man. Like, that's some pussy shit, man. Like, just box it out, nigga.
Yeah. I'm with that.
It's more other motherfuckers trying to attack us than us attacking each other. For real, though. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's my thing. Like, you already got to fight other obstacles. Why I got to fight with a motherfucker that's trying to get the same thing that I'm getting?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Like, we both in the same boat, for real.
Yeah. But see, people can't
see
it like that, man.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, but some people going to push your ass off that motherfucking boat. Yeah, they like,
want
you
it
off
all,
plank,
man.
Nigga. Yeah.
And they want it all. They Memphis Cat want it all. They want all the money, all the women, all the cars. And if anybody trying to compete with them, some nigga go as far as having something done to you, man. It ain't the first time it done happened. I think it's the first time. But no, it ain't the first time it happened, because it just a year or two ago, it was another shoe. You know what I'm saying? So
it's becoming a
pattern. I mean, look at what they did to Lorenzo Wright in Memphis, Tennessee. Who ever thought that would happen to him?
That was Sam.
Exactly.
That's my fam.
You know what I'm saying? But who'd ever thought, as kind and giving as that brother was, who'd ever thought he would get gunned down in the city he did so much for, man, and represented?
Right. Yeah.
You know,
that's
so.
Totally right.
It ain't a joke.
You know, we got that dog. We got that dog eat dog mentality in Memphis. That's the fucking problem. We got that dog eat dog mentality. You know, it's that crab in the bucket thing. You know what I'm saying? Somebody trying to go up, motherfucker, lash on your ass, trying to pull you down, man. It's stupid.
Yeah. It is, man. It's sad, too,
and then
man.
We got niggas stealing our shit. We letting niggas come in there and steal our shit. While we sitting there beefing with each other, right, we got other motherfuckers coming there infiltrating, stealing our shit.
Yeah. Yeah. It's easy to steal from niggas who ain't got no unity, man. If you see some niggas all selling dope in the house together and they all arguing into it, how easy would it be to manipulate one of them niggas to turn on the neighbor? You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Yeah, so is we easy to infiltrate because
he
of
doing?
It.
Is he in critical condition, or is he getting better? What's
they
the
say he was stable.
He's good. He's good.
I mean,
he's
heard
good.
He was in stable condition, man. And I met Dolph before. Dolph a good-hearted dude, man. He, you know, he's a good-hearted brother, man. He young. He having fun. He got some success going on. And he should be able to enjoy that without his life being threatened, man. You know.
Yeah.
Right.
That's sad.
Oh,
I hope.
Sneak too, man, just got shot.
Yeah, Keek, I'm about to say Keek the Sneak got shot too. Yep.
Oh,
he a veteran in the
year.
Game.
What
yep.
did he out of?
He's
from Oakland.
He's from Oakland.
Yeah. Oh,
okay. Oakland.
Ghost Ride the Whip.
40 and
three
short.
Crazy.
Yeah, Mac Dre and all
Ghost Ride the Whip, yeah.
Three times crazy.
Mark, yep.
Yep, Keep the Sneak,
man. That's that West Coast shit, though.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's
like, you know
not
saying? Like, we
got to
do better in Memphis. You know what I'm saying? We got to do better and stuff. Like, we got so much potential. We innovated a lot of shit that motherfuckers are doing now. You feel me? Like,
mm-hmm.
why the fuck we sitting here, like, beefing on shit and we all in for the same common fucking go?
Yeah. I think it's, too, because we let the wrong people, we get behind the wrong people without really checking to see what kind of person they really are, their character, or nothing like that. We just influenced by the music. And when they got something bumping, we just automatically get behind them. But I think if fans will start looking at the person a little bit more deeper, you could avoid supporting the
right.
fuck nigga, supporting the wrong kind of motherfucker, helping them come up.
Right.
And then they get on top, and now they want to fuck everybody, don't want to help nobody, you know, and try to block other motherfuckers from getting on. I seen that shit happen, too, so, you know.
And, Pam,
I
you went through some shit, too. You went through some shit, you know what I'm saying, coming through the game, too. You know what I'm saying? This ain't new.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He's the first nigga out of Memphis, you know what I'm saying? And he done went through some shit.
Man, yeah, because, see, I was the first motherfucker they had to hate. See, they got multiple choice now. Oh, I can hate on God.
Yeah.
I can hate on Dolph. I can hate on Moneybagg Yo. I can go hate on the OG. I can hate on Baldwin. Back when I came out, I was the only one really popping. So, shit, I had to take on all that shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, they didn't have multiple choice back then. It was just mad.
I mean, this shit is crazy. I mean, that's just crazy. I mean, you know, like, you got mistaken for another rapper because, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, DJ Quick and fucking MCA was into it back in the day, and they mistaken you for that nigga.
Yeah, at the Jack the Rapper convention, man. Hell yeah,
they thought you was DJ Quick.
Surrounded me, dog. Yeah, they thought I was DJ Quick, man. I told one nigga, I ain't no Quick. I'm
gangsta.
Yeah, a bunch of Crips. You know, back in that time, DJ Quick was known as a Blood. So I'm at the Jack the Rapper convention in Atlanta. They thought I was DJ Quick, man. They was about to get in my shit. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
It was
you
crazy.
Probably like, nigga, it's G and fuck out of here, man. We in this motherfucker.
I'm Gangsta Pat. I ain't no DJ Quick, nigga. The nigga looked at me up and down and told his partner, yeah, that's that DJ Quick, nigga, man. I'm like, oh, shit, it's about to be a problem.
Here we go.
You listen to me, man.
Fuck no. Nah.
We still got a lot of talent in Memphis. You know what I'm saying? Bottom line, we got so much talent. You know what I'm saying? We got Caesar Six. You know, we got Moneybagg Yo. We got Yo Money still a force to be reckoned with. You feel me?
Yeah, I'm about to say Yo Millionaire. It's a gang of motherfuckers in the M,
Yo,
man, doing their thing.
Yeah. I just wish they'll, you know, come back and cut some shit with the OGs, man. You know, shit.
Yeah.
That'll be good to hear.
Well.
Yeah, I'm down with that. That's all. You know,
yeah,
what I'm
man.
Down
at least
with
one
that.
Record. You know what I'm saying?
Shit. Yeah.
That way, we can expose them to our OG fans, and they can expose us to their new age fans. Man. That's how it's supposed to be.
Exactly.
Though. And that's
exactly.
how I try
oh, yeah,
to
like
do
that.
It.
Bridging
like,
that gap.
I like that record you did with Skinny, man. You, Skinny, and Zert. I love that record, dude. I love that motherfucker.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah. Man, I done about 3-4 records with Skinny Zerk. I hope they use one. Is it on his album or you just heard it floating around?
I heard one of them. I heard one of them, man.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is.
Right,
I
was just about to ask you. You got
time.
Some music coming out for Zerk or something?
Yeah, we got because
Zerk
we
don't
got
get he don't get his pride. He don't get his credit either.
Nah, Zerk.
They don't
Zerk
get Zerk his
pride
either.
Zuri's the innovator of sound. Him and Squeaky is, man.
Yeah, yeah, they definitely. They took that, man. I'm going to tell you something. The tempo was a little, you know what I'm saying, it was around, I guess, about maybe 85 or something, 86, somewhere. But they took it and they slowed that shit down to the 60s, man. That's Zerk and Squeaky. When you hear that slow Memphis shit, that's them. They come with that, man. They slowed that boom down and K'd that motherfucker, man. I'm telling you.
What about you, though, Pat?
Hey,
you got a project coming up?
Is it okay if I tell you?
Yeah. I'm always working on music. I just get tired of putting music out there, and I don't have the resources to get it where it need to be, man. That'd be my discouragement. But I got a zillion songs, man. I guess I'm gonna throw something out. I want to do like a Halloween project too. But I say that every year, though. You know what I'm saying? I got several songs I could drop, but you know, I just don't do it, man. I guess because I feel like I'm gonna put it out. It's gonna linger for a minute. I ain't got the money to propel it where it need to be, and then it's on to the next project. So, you know, that'd be discouraging sometimes, but I swear a lot of people have been asking me about it, man. I promise you I'm going to give y'all something, bro. It's going to be something coming. Hopefully
brother,
by the end of October,
we got
before
your
Halloween.
Back over here, and we're going to put you
in
the chair, and we definitely want the people to hear it, man. And I salute you for still doing what you're doing. And thank you, man, for coming back on the show, man. It's a huge honor to have you back on, man.
Before you go, though,
I want to make sure, I want to give you the floor, man. What if cats want beats? Are you doing production for other cats or anything like that?
My problem with production is I do some tracks and then I want to sell them and then I decide, I'm going to keep these. I better put these in the can. When you got the mind of an artist, I never had the mind of a producer. Like I said, I just did beats because I couldn't pay nobody, you know. So
yeah.
I don't really see myself as a producer. I tried to sell beats at once upon a time, but, you know, man, motherfuckers don't even want to give you $15, $20 for no track, man, because they can go online and loop something and rap over that shit, or they can take the hottest beat that's out, do a mixtape, and rap over that shit. So it just ain't really never been profitable to me to sell tracks. I could do better with a track if I rap over my damn self. You know, but
That's true.
You know
what I'm saying? That's true. But
and it's time consuming. Making tracks time consuming, cause they'll send you that shit back like, dude, redo this part, redo that. You know, that's time consuming. Man.
Add this
you
element,
took up a whole
add
day.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
But
well,
I got
man,
something
I,
coming. I'm gonna drop something, man. But me and my father, we work.
Your father, you doing work with him too?
Yeah, me and my father, we working on a project called, it's going to be the Son of Shaft, man. I got the sticks that he actually played Shaft with. I ain't even broke them out yet. You know what I'm saying? They got so much sentimental value that I don't even want to sell them. I don't even want to put them on eBay and auction them off. You know what I'm saying? I keep them. They got real sentimental value to me. I probably pass away with them, man, but he gave me them sticks. So we're going to do this Son of Shaft project. I'm going to get him and a couple of more musicians that used to play with Isaac Hayes Band and, you know, do something with a live feel. But it's going to be gangster, though. It's going to remind you of that old Isaac Hayes gangster shit. But we're going to put some nice lyrics over it, man. And, you know, keep that sound going, man. Because, I mean, you got to look at how many people sample Isaac Hayes. You know, some of the hottest rap records in the game contain an Isaac Hayes sample. Like Mind Playing Tricks on Me, Ghetto Boys. You know, Pop still get a little check off that, man. A little publishing off that, man. That was the Isaac Hayes sample. Yeah, it's a lot of hit records, though, man. So.
And your dad, you know what I'm saying, he was in the Blues Brothers. He was, you know, he did a lot of stuff, you know what I'm saying. Was he able to give you a lot of insight as a young guy growing up?
Oh, yeah. Because, you know, I started out as a drummer. I used to play drums in church. Drums was my thing. You know, I wanted to be just like him. But when rap came along, you know, New Edition and stuff like that, you know, I fell in love with all that stuff. So I kind of leaned away from drums and started looking more into the guitars and, the keyboards and all that shit. So, but, yeah, as far as music, period, that's my main. That's the reason I do this shit. It wasn't to be famous and to be known. It was to prove to him you know what I'm saying, that I could take my music and do and make some success with it too, you know. So as we was growing up, you know, he was the head musician in the family. So I wanted to make some noise too, you know what I'm saying. That was my motivation.
Well, it's dope
to, so I never wanted to be a star. I just wanted to play music.
2017. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Definitely, man, definitely. Well, I'll tell you what, Pat, thanks again for coming back on the show, man. And, we hope to have you on again, man, in the future as always, brother, man. Anything you want to say before we get out of here?
Hey, man, I just want to say thank y'all. Thank the show, man, for having me back. Thank for all the support, everybody that called in. You know what I'm saying? I appreciate all that love, man. If it weren't for y'all, it wouldn't be no me. You know what I'm saying? So just know I'm appreciative of that, man. I hope everybody have a good night and a good rest of the year, man.
Most definitely, man. I'll definitely stay in touch with you, man. Take care of yourself, brother.
Appreciate it.
Yep. And you too, Memphis Mark, gonzo-looking-ass motherfucker. That's my dude, though, man. I always got to give him shit, man. We be on Facebook, man. I use Facebook for that shit. If you need a good laugh, man, it's some checking session motherfuckers on there, man. Use Facebook and social media as a tool. Don't use it for a life utensil. Social media is just, it's a tool. So it's like you're not going to bring a hammer when you need a screwdriver. You got to use it for how it works for you. Don't get on there trying to show out for these bitches. You is not getting no ass off these bitches. You ain't going to get no quality ass from social media. I'll just tell you that. You know what I'm saying? You need to still really get out here in the physical world. Talk to these bitches, do what you got to do. This Pat, we really didn't really get off into that, but you be breaking it down for these motherfuckers. Like, it's a different plane, a playing field with you. Like, it's squares and it's circles, you know what I'm saying? And a lot of these motherfuckers are squares, and they get up every morning and they searching for likes on Facebook. Like, they posting all this shit really for what a bitch gonna say, you know what I'm saying? Mm. Or what a whole ass nigga gonna say. That's what they doing it for. They ain't doing it for really. I'm posting this because I want my real people to tell me some shit. No, you posting it for your likes because you think these hoes going to feel sorry for you, or you trying to impress these weak-ass niggas. So,
that's true.
If you on that shit, go kill yourself.
Real talk, brother.
Most definitely, man. With that, we're going to get out of here. You know what I'm saying? The Master Glock, Gangsta Pat, man. We'll see you guys next week. We got Crime Boss, start of the week, and then we got Mastermind. So keep fucking with us. UGSforLife.com.
More murder, that's what I'm screaming. When I catch you slipping, politely just pop the clipping and cock it and start to ripping. I rock for a living. You see, this Glock is my resume. I never leave home without it. I told you this every day. A killer in every way. Disobey, I'll be forced to shoot. So don't play no games. You know I came just for the loot. So take me straight to the keys. I'ma take everything off your ass. He knew he was a dead man. When he see me take off my mask, I bust that bitch in his dome. Then I ramshacked his home. Got him for all he had. Then I got my ass on. Looking for another lick. I be quick to kick in your dope. Put that Glock in your face while I force you down to the floor. The element of surprise. I love that look in their eyes. When them chicks realize the Antichrist has arrived. It's about to get crucial. This is the usual shit for me. On to another victim. It's just one more lick for me. Lock up tricks in the trunk, cause we still on that mouth shit. My
Glock in my front pants, my mask in my back pocket. My mind fucked up right now, cause I'm focused on making profit. You got it, I'm coming for it. I'ma get your ass in the end. I'ma fuck you up on the spot like we cowboys and Indians. I'm straight out the Haven, that's where your shit will get complicated. Robber of the Year award, I'm out to get nominated. My nine is so wicked, I believe it be taking over me. When I'm in the midst of robbing, something takes control of me. I try not to murder, but I can't help it, it's like a curse. When I pull that hammer back, you treat like it doesn't work. It started a 211, but turned into a 187. That trick wouldn't cooperate. I had to send that bitch to heaven. My nine is my best friend. My mask is my alter ego. Preachers ain't safe around me. Now alter the alter ego. Mobbing, my Glock is my meal ticket. Once I scope out my victim, I'm about to get real wicked. Get up for all of his shit, I'ma leave him a bullet hole off in his brain. So many blood stains, what a mess, but I guess it just come with the game. You lame, get hemmed up, you suckers get ass fucked. I'll make it hard to breathe like you're suffering from asthma. I'm surgical with this Glock, I can give you a closed casket, but only if you resist, cause then I'ma feel like you asked me. Boy, so trick, don't blow it, move slow and don't lie to me. And pray I don't listen to these demons that's inside of me. They keep screaming homicide, and I'm thinking the same thing. So take me straight to your cheese before I blow out the brain. My patience is getting short, this trick about to wreck my nerves. Taking this time with this money, now I got the urge to murder my victim. When I get them racks, I'ma cock it back and let it go black, black. I'ma leave a motherfucker laying flat.
The DePaul Blue Demons feed off the roar of the crowd. And now that incredible home court advantage extends to you because the brand new Wintrust Arena is opening right in the heart of downtown Chicago. Get sensational seats to our back-to-work brand of basketball and bring your family and friends for hoops, hoopla, and all the other action-packed action. The new Wintrust Arena, home to your Blue Demons. It's Sweet Home Court, Chicago. It's Big East basketball in downtown Chicago as DePaul debuts in the city's newest entertainment venue, Wintrust Arena. For tickets, visit DePaulBlueDemons.com. The DePaul Blue Demons feed off the roar of the crowd. And now that incredible home court advantage extends to you because the brand new Wintrust Arena is opening right in the heart of downtown Chicago. Get sensational seats to our back-to-work brand of basketball and bring your family and friends for hoops, hoopla, and all the other action-packed action. The new Wintrust Arena, home to your Blue Demons. It's Sweet Home Court, Chicago. DePaul basketball is back in Chicago at the brand new Wintrust Arena. For season tickets, mini plans, and group ticket information, visit DePaulBlueDemons.com.